This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. Iriranga o Whangaroa. Hello, kia ora. My name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. And today, to help us on that path, I have a very awesome guest who I met and did a recent workshop with her, and it was a beautiful workshop. I learned so much about myself. Naomi, thank you for that workshop, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jason. Yeah, happy to be on the show.
Can you say your full name? I didn't want to butcher the pronunciation.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so my show name is Naomi Prema Devi.
Prema Devi. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for that. Now, I have you on because I'm very ignorant to a lot of things in life. And one of those things is Tantra and the way of Tantra and those sort of techniques and practices. Are you able to introduce what that is? Because a lot of people, I mean, I have this sort of idea of what it is, but I'm pretty sure it's not 100% accurate. If you could talk about that and let us know what you've come to find in Tantra and how it's helped you as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, well, Tantra is definitely one of these words that can mean many different things to different people. For me, actually, though, Tantra is my spiritual path, meaning that it's about embracing all aspects of life and using it as a way to wake up. And so that can be that, I'm embracing my sexuality, but it can also be that I'm embracing challenging emotions. And yeah, but it's a beautiful way to kind of, instead of like denying life, it's really about living life, enjoying life to the fullest. And you could say another thing is like bringing that heaven onto earth. I don't know if that gives you some insight, but
sounds like a practice of acceptance.
Yes, definitely. Acceptance is definitely a big part of Tantra. Yeah. And, you know, you could look at it in another way around, how a lot of people can get into spirituality and they think that to be spiritual is to be all love and light and, you know, to be all happy and like, I'm so happy, I'm so spiritual. But they might not actually be feeling the love in their heart. Like underneath, they're probably like, oh, I'm so pissed off at that person.
Right.
Or I'm feeling so angry, but, you know, I'm going to pretend that I'm all happy and love and light. But actually, you know, Tantra is really about coming back to that place of authenticity. And as you embrace, like, even those parts of yourself that are like, oh, judging someone or, you know, feeling angry or having different difficult emotions, that's where you actually can come into a place of real love because you're able to embrace all of the human experience.
Yeah, that's one of the ways for me personally how I look at love and define love. Love is a connection. And it's a connection to everything, whether you like it or not, you are connected to this thing. And to me, like a lot of people say the opposite of love is hate or the opposite of love is fear. To me, the opposite of love is disconnection or apathy. And it's when you ignore and deny those things that you actually get issues. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm liking what I'm hearing already.
Yeah, totally. Well, because even from like a healing point of view, you know, when you're sort of like restricting things in your body, like, or even, you know, having like limiting mindsets and things like that, it can restrict the flow of life. So when you have like life force energy flowing freely in your body, that's actually what gives you health, right? So quite often, you know, we get caught up in conditioning, like how we've, you know, from society, from our parents, from our peers, or we can have traumas and things, and they kind of stop the life force from flowing, right? And then, you know,
that's how some people define trauma, as stuck energy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it can be, you know, I mean, trauma is a sensitive thing and it can take a bit of work to work through it and to heal it and things, but it's important to definitely look at it if you've got trauma and find a way to get that energy flowing again so that you can really be in your full joy and full expression.
Yeah. That's how, like my perspective on health is, it's the levels of nutrition versus toxins in the body, and as long as the body's flowing, you can assimilate the good and eliminate the bad. But if things get stuck, and it's usually the toxins they get stuck, and then they just build up and they cause these blockages so that you can't assimilate, that you can't uptake and bring in all those good nutrients. So it is about flow. And something you said there brought up for me, you know, there's a lot of people that are healthy physically, but then you wonder why, how could this healthy person who's physically fit get sick? It's because they have emotional or mental blockages that create changes in physiology and hormones, and those create stuck energy in the body just by thoughts and feelings.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So yeah, you could, I mean, you know, you can go into tantra on a much sort of esoteric, a much more esoteric level, which is, you know, we like to look at things like polarity and how to unite polarities. And there is this concept of like one of the polarities is the masculine and feminine, which can be a loaded topic these days. But you know, like one of the ways of looking at the masculine of, in tantra is looking at it as this as Shiva. So Shiva is considered divine masculine, is also considered consciousness, and Shakti is considered pure life force energy, power. It's kind of the dynamic aspect of the universe, you could say, if you're going really esoteric. But the thing is like the Shakti is also your energy, right? So the more that you can bring your consciousness or your awareness into different parts of your body, like let's say your emotions, and you're like, oh, I noticed that there's an emotion I'm having right now that feels uncomfortable. Like it might be you're feeling some sadness or some anger, and you want to run away from it or try and resist it. But you know, if you take the tantric principles, it's like, okay, let me look at that emotion. Let me go into it. Let me feel it. Let me dive deeper and see what's beneath it. And so that emotion can actually transform and shift. And because you're actually bringing like attention and also love and acceptance to that emotion, right? So these can be many ways that you can, anyway, you can use different, what I like to call alchemical practices to work with your health, but on many different levels, right? So your mental, emotional, physical health. And another aspect of tantra is to see the body as a temple. So in a way, just like really like with what you're doing with health, it's like, how do you have a healthy body so that you can really get the most out of your beautiful body temple?
I mean, it's a it's I like to explain your body as an instrument, and it needs to be fine-tuned to play really beautiful music. And if, you know, the way you live, the way you eat, sleep, drink, breathe, all of that will determine how tuned your instrument is. And if you go off the path and the tuning goes off and then the music starts playing and it's not exactly how you like it to sound, and you can change that. And it is you do have the power to change and choose how your musical, how your instrument is tuned and what type of music is expressed. Is it nice? Is it happy? Is it sad? Is it green? And it's no good or bad. It's just, what do you want? Are you conscious that this is the music that you are currently playing out to the world?
I love that. Yeah, that's beautiful.
And you're talking about, have you heard of internal family systems? It's a type of therapy.
Yes,
Yeah, so it sounds like
totally.
exactly what you're talking about there, where they actually look at the different parts of you, so they don't ignore or deny, they actually talk to them and you have conversations with different parts of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, like in a way, you know, I am sort of talking a little bit in a, kind of a therapist way with like kind of looking at these aspects of yourself or these parts of yourself and accepting them and acknowledging them and giving them space to be themselves. And that could be one approach. But, you know, underlying that in Tantra is really, again, how do we let our Shakti, our life force energy flow freely? How do we be authentic? How do we be fully expressed? And there can be different ways of doing that. Like you can use things like internal family systems to help you to liberate and things. So that's where you can bring it really down to like a, you know, just a normal day-to-day way of being. It's like, yeah, let me just go to a, you know, internal family systems therapist, and that can help me to liberate some of that energy, so I can feel fully alive.
Yeah, and when we're talking about masculine and feminine, I'm thinking of like yin and yang,
Yeah.
which are universal energies that are within everything and within everyone. It's not a gendered thing. It's more of a what exists in us. It's the energy that expresses. It's the energy that sort of contains. We have both of those energies inside of us. And it's not about suppressing one or expressing only one. It's about using both of them. And we're going to have one that's stronger than the other, But we can also tap into the other if we're conscious about it.
Yes, definitely.
What else did you say? There was something else there you said.
Well, one thing that you said actually was about, sorry, connection. And yeah, you know, Tantra, that's a big part of Tantra around, you know, connecting to yourself, connecting to spirit, connecting to others, connecting to life, right?
So it's acceptance and it's connection, which is really funny because I've got this the way I define love is a holistic three principle perspective, and the first one is acceptance, and the second one is compassion and understanding, which is about connection. So it's really funny how I'm finding some alignment here with what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what that, yeah, very similar. And actually, funnily enough, most people are kind of living a tantric life, but they don't realize
Right,
because it's a
right.
lot about, like, you know, just living life and enjoying life. Whereas you could take the approach of going into a cave and just denying life and kind of being like, my body's an illusion, everything's an illusion here. You know, I'm not even going to put any attention towards that. But the other way is like, I'm going to live life and I'm going to enjoy. So, you know,
Yeah.
that's kind of, in a way, what most people are doing in the world, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, what about surrender? I remember being in your workshop and we would, be grouped up with different people, and I feel like I'd be building this connection with someone, and then you're like, okay, let go, next one. And I was like, no, I was just getting to know this person. So is there something about surrender in Tantra that we can learn?
Definitely. And surrender is kind of like, in a way, you could look at it more like a feminine way of being, like, meaning you've got feminine and masculine within you. So you could tap into your own inner feminine and surrender. And the more that you can surrender and, in a way, let go of control, it can actually help you to go into more pleasure, actually, because let's say in the bedroom, a lot of people can get quite caught up in their head and sort of stuck in their head. But if you can kind of come back into the body, like through the senses, just through your breath, through just connecting with presence to your body, and then, like, let's say you're feeling some pleasure or feeling something, if you surrender into that and really, you know, drop deeper into the feelings that you're feeling and really allow those feelings to kind of expand through your body, then yeah, it can be a beautiful thing that can give you a lot of pleasure and even natural ecstasy. So that is a principle. But then, you know, kind of circling back to what you were saying around the exercises that I did in the workshop, well, like, because another part of Tantra is about being present and being here and now, and but in an embodied way, right? So you might have a do an exercise with somebody and you are fully present in that moment, right? But then you might get attached even, but like you have to be able to let go and set them free. And in a way that helps you to be more present for the next moment that you encounter rather than
Right.
still being attached to that last moment and that last person.
Yeah, it sounds very Eckhart Tolle how he talks about being present and not being attached, eh?
And I mean, some of these things, you know, they're work in progress. Like, it's not that we're all going to be there instantly, you know. It's but you know, just to have moments of that is so fulfilling, where you can just be fully present. And then the beauty with Tantra is also, you know, you can have that with another person, where you can really feel like you're having this, like, I mean, moment of like connection, but also presence and meditation, looking into their eyes and, you know, like everything else can just disappear and you're just fully there with them. And that can be so beautiful to have that experience.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, you're making me think now. It's similar to, like, for me, everyone's got their own sort of poison and addiction. For me, it's food. I love food, especially chocolate. And I'm just thinking, well, I'm having this present moment with it, but I'm not, I should be done, right? I'm feeling satisfied. I'm done, but I'm attaching to it, and I want more. And I'm being present to. I'm not being present to the moment now. I'm being present to my desire, some internal thing. And I'm not being present to what's happening inside and outside. And that's kind of what was happening in the workshop as well. Oh, yeah, I'm present to this person. But once they had to go, I was internally wanting more. Like I was attached and I was not present to we're shifting, we're going to a new, and even, you know, as soon as I got to meet a new person, it was just as good. You know, I was very present. It was awesome. It was like, no, not, you know, again, I just got attached again. So you're making me really think about how I attach to things and how it's more internal and not wanting to let go. Like, there's this ego, there's this desire. Does tantric help with your internal desires and how to be more at ease with them?
Well, yes, you could say that. And also you could look at it from another perspective where it can be about enjoying pleasure as well, which could be following desires and following what's alive. But the thing is, you want to really get into that place of mastery. You want to be able to let's say enjoy pleasure, but then to be able to let go. So you're not attached to the pleasure. Do you know what I mean? So like you could meet the hottest person in the world that you want to connect with and be so attached to them and all of this, but then you might be attached to even like an illusion of them or an idea of them, which isn't actually real, and an idea of what you want the thing, the relationship to be. But that can take you away from being present if you're already thinking about like what's going to happen, you know, a year down the track, right? Like,
Marriage,
and that,
kids.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it's not to deny that that still can come up, but it's just being aware. It's like a meditation. You know, everything can be a meditation. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm having that thought about marriage and kids. And now, like, how can I come back here right now and see that person? And it's such like, you know, they talk about the present. The present, is it present? Meaning like your presence is a present to the other person. So if you're fully present with them, then that's a present. Whereas if you're half present and thinking about the future, you're not really fully present. So then like you might never see them tomorrow. And then you didn't really get to have that really deep, fulfilling moment with them because you were only half present. And the same could be said about chocolate. Like you could eat a piece of chocolate and you know, just kind of you're kind of attached to the maybe the desire of eating chocolate, and maybe you like the taste, so you just kind of eat it, and then but you eat it quite quickly, so you're not really like fully present with the chocolate. But what if you slowed everything down? Like slowing things down is actually a way to tap into the tantra zone. But like, what if you slowed it down and you just like ate that piece of chocolate so slowly and just allowed it to melt on your tongue and like drip down your throat and just noticing all the different flavors within this one piece of chocolate. That piece of chocolate could be just the most fulfilling thing ever. And you might not even need to eat a lot of chocolate, right? Like you might just need a little bit because you're having such a moment of like, in a way, making love with the chocolate, right?
Sounds like
So
making
then.
love and being present are the same thing.
Yeah, in a way, you're like making love with life, right? And as you make love with life, you are being present with life.
When it comes to chocolate, that's actually a recommended practice with the 100% is to just take a little piece and just let it sit in the mouth because it's so strong. You want to get a sense of all those flavors. Yet with chocolate, that's not as dark. If it's quite sweet, you kind of just want to scoff it down because there's not much flavor profile there. It's just sweet. But yeah, that's okay, cool. Now I know how to be more present. Just take my time.
Like next time you're eating Jason, have a slow meal. Like see how that goes. It might take a while to eat, but it could be really an interesting experience. You can make it into a meditation.
Yeah, I tell people, there's a, I think it's a yogi saying, it's like, chew your water and drink your food, which just means to swirl the water in your mouth so your saliva gets infused, and that way your body will absorb more of it. And when it comes to drink your food, chew, chew, chew until it's liquid so you can just swallow it easy without having to drink anything, right? And I do that, but not with chocolate.
Well, chocolate. You can try chocolate now.
I'm going to do that with chocolate.
Yeah, but it's a good way of looking at things. Yeah.
Yeah. You said the tantric zone. What is the tantric zone?
Well, have you experienced the tantric zone, Jason? You don't know.
Maybe,
Maybe you have.
probably.
Yeah. The tantra zone is. It's almost like when you go into that place. I forget what it's called. You know, like if you're playing golf or something like that, and you go into that place where you're just in the zone. I don't know what that's
Yeah,
called.
in the
Is there
zone,
in the
being in flow. Yeah.
in the flow state? Flow state.
Yeah, flow state, yes.
So it's kind of like you could say it's like being in a flow state when you're going in the tantra zone, and so you're kind of in that state. But like where it can be really nice to enjoy is when you're connecting with another person to be in that flow state. So that could be, it could be in a dance with another person. It could be looking into their eyes. It could be like, touching each other's bodies or making love, but just being able to be in that place where you're just so like in that zone, So I don't know, maybe did you feel like you were able to, have you had experiences like that where you kind of like look in someone in the eyes or, and you're just like tapping into this place where it's just like, wow, like you're
Yeah, well,
not even thinking anymore.
it's where time disappears or goes so fast, eh? Like when you come
Yeah.
out of that space, of that tantra zone, you're like, whoa, where did all that time go? And yeah, I had
Yeah.
that in the workshop with some of the people there, because they just said everyone's got an awesome story to tell, and you just get so involved and, oh, wow, this is really deep and present and real. Like this, I think the one thing your workshop brought out for me and maybe others was how real I became and how real I felt others were. I just felt like there was no fakeness, no falseness, no facade. It was all, like as soon as we got through those doors, the quote unquote real world, which is not really real because it's all full of, marketing and advertising and all this stuff, and people being polite and saying, "How are you? I'm fine," when they're really not. But in that space that you created, it was really real. You could just feel it. There was something there. And that zone, you're right. I would tap in and out of that zone all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, and and sort of like, again, there's these, like I like to say again, as I said before, alchemical practices that can, like, even in communication that you can use, that can take you into a much deeper way of communicating with another. And like even just with touch as well, like how do you touch somebody with presence, because like you might just touch but you're not really there. But if you say touch somebody's arm and you're really feeling your fingers like touching their skin, and then if they're the one receiving, they're really feeling and bringing their awareness to where your fingers are touching the skin, it is it can be a much more fulfilling experience that way.
Yeah, that's something you got us to do a lot was an embodied practice and to be mindful of what's happening inside. And it sounds like when you're touching someone, it's helping you bring that mind, the internal mindfulness outside, making it more external. Embodied practice.
I mean, it's a kind of a mix of both, really, but yeah, an inner and outer
Yeah.
awareness. Yeah.
I just want to go back a bit, I guess, to like, how did you get into this work? How did you find Tantra, or the Tantra find you?
Well, who knows, but maybe, yeah. Well, I got into Tantra because I was always like, quite a nature child and very sensual when I was growing up. And I was also interested in the mystical aspect of life, and I ended up kind of tapping into Christianity because that was what was around at the time, and I got influenced by it. And anyway, I got to this point where I was like, okay, well, like I'm at an age where I could have sex, and but yet, like, to be a good Christian and to be a good spiritual person, I probably shouldn't have sex because you should wait till after marriage to have sex. This was kind of the ideas in my head. And then if I did look at other spiritual paths, it was like, oh, you shouldn't have sex because sex is bad and it's gonna, you should be celibate, like to be spiritual, don't have sex at all. It's like dangerous, right? So, yeah, it was basically I ended up having sex like when I was about 19, and after that I would, like, if I had sex again, I would be really, in the moment with the person, enjoying it, the connection, but afterwards feeling so much guilt and shame and just feeling like such a bad person that I wasn't spiritual, and the spiritual thing was so important to me, and it was just like, oh man, like I'm just a mess, So I ended up getting this invitation from a couple of friends to go to India, and I just felt like I knew that something really powerful was going to happen in India for me. So I went to India and was traveling around, and eventually ended up in this place called Rajasthan, which is this beautiful state in northern India, and in this place called the Golden City. And anyway, I met this man who basically told me what Tantra was, and he said Tantra is a way to unite your sexuality with spirituality and to bring in the sacred. And suddenly I was like, oh, I can be a spiritual person and also a sexual person and a sensual person, and that's okay. I'm not wrong, like I'm not wrong or bad, or I'm not a not spiritual person. So then I was like, oh my goodness, and I just was like, this is my path. And yeah, and from then I ended up exploring a whole bunch of different things on the tantra path, tantra yoga, Tao tantric arts, traditional tantra, neo tantra, which is the modern tantra, and then other things like shadow work and communication, authentic relating, that kind of thing. But yeah, it's really, for me, it's just like a knowing that this is my path. And that yeah, because I would go and like, I'm actually a yoga teacher too, and I remember going to my yoga training, and then one of the things in yoga is they teach you about these things called the do's and don'ts of yoga, which is like the niyamas and the yamas. And one of them is like brahmacharya, which basically means, it can mean, there's different descriptions of it, because Sanskrit words can have many descriptions, but one of the meanings is celibacy. So then if you're really wanting to be a yogi who's got a lot of integrity, then you should be celibate. Whereas if you look at it more from a tantra yoga path, you don't have to be celibate. You can use your sexual energy, and you can use it for healing. You can use it to reach an enlightened states, ecstatic states. You can do a lot more with this energy, because it's just a raw form of energy. And it, unfortunately, the sexual energy has so much shit thrown on top of it. It's in its pure form, it's innocent, but we've got like traumas and abuse and rape and all sorts, and it's kind of yeah, taken away from that beauty. So there's a lot of shadow now connected to sexuality. But yeah,
Yeah, and that's in the
that's kind
West,
of
right? That's all out in the West, but like in the
what's
West,
that?
the Western mindset is
Yeah.
about sexuality being something that isn't quite, it should not be part of normal life. It's something private and done away and hidden away. Yet with the chakra system, I think it's the second one, that's all about creative energy. Sexual energy is creative energy. It's not just creative and creating life, but it's creative in how you express and make things in the world as well. And so it's not just sex, it's about energy that you can use to make things in the world. And it's a shame that people are told, no, not good.
Yeah, totally. And like, if you're like, one of the things that if you're looking at some aspects of tantra, they talk about, like, especially for men, like learning to non-ejaculate, or to at least I like to say have ejaculation choice, because that way, like, because if you're ejaculating all the time, and then you can actually deplete some of your life force and your like ability to really tap into your full creativity, because you kind of get releasing that energy and getting rid of it, right? So, but if you kind of learn a bit more how to work with that energy and cultivate it and move it in your body, then when you want to ejaculate, you can, and you might actually start to feel more like purpose in your life and more focus and lots of things, because it's, you're keeping that energy, that creative energy, right? And that motivation, that inspiration within you. So that can be something that, is always a fun thing to explore if you, if anyone feels inspired, like it,
Yeah.
and yeah.
It's making me think life force, energy, spirit, it moves through all these different minerals and vitamins and stuff within us. Because when, if a guy ejaculates, every ejaculate causes him to lose some zinc, which is why oysters are a high zinc food, and they're called, a food that's really used for that sort of to get you in the mood, and you need it, because if you do too much, then you're going to reduce the zinc, and that is really going to make you feel r really low, because zinc deficiencies, yes, it's not a good thing, and that's part of that life force. If you don't have the minerals within, then the energy can't tap into you as well. It's all connected, the physical and the metaphysical. So that makes total sense. Like, I'm just thinking on a left brain side of things, it makes total sense as well. That's
Definitely.
great.
And even you understanding those things in a way, that's where you're starting to tune into sort of alchemy. Like, you're learning, like, okay, if I'm like depleting this, then what can I bring in to help to bring, to rejuvenate it? Like, right. So that's kind of an alchemical practice where you're playing with, okay, we get rid of that energy. Like, how do I bring something in to replace it or to nurture it?
And your story is a beautiful story because it's about someone who's unique, and you know, we all have a path that we are destined to be on, and you found it. Like, you found the path that really aligns with your instrument, with who you are. Whereas a lot of people, they can't, their path is hidden, or they're not on the path. They're working a job that they don't like, or they're with someone that they don't really fully love. And you know, it's the human story is trying to find where you fit in. And it sounds like you found your path with Tantra, which is just a beautiful thing to hear, and which just means that there's hope for everyone, that you can find your way. You may feel like you're different and you're hopeless and this is not working and blah blah blah. Well, maybe it's just not for you. Maybe it's just not your path. Just got to keep looking and keep seeking, keep moving forward.
Yeah. And,
Yeah.
you know, one thing that can be a good way to perhaps tap into your path is actually going into stillness or silence and really like listening to what comes into your being, which is why they'll often say, you know, for like in the like Native American cultures, go do a, I've forgotten what it's called, but where you go out into the, maybe into the forest for a few days, like a
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Vision quest. Is it vision
Vision
quest?
quest, well done. You got it.
Yeah, vision quest. Yeah, but you know, in a way, like it's actually where you tap into silence that you can start to tune into some of this, right? And you get insights. Whereas if your mind is very busy and you're like thinking all the time, what should I do? What should I do? You're not actually in silence. You know, you're not actually in this place of hearing the deeper voices. You're kind of stuck with like some ideas in your head. So that can be a good way is to just really deeply listen to see if you can hear the voice of your soul and just see like what comes to you. And the other way is also just to notice what things light you up, what things excite you. And you can even look at where there's maybe there's things in your life that are uncomfortable or not like there's something there that feels out of balance. And then you could look at that because that can also be a like a an arrow pointing you to where you might need to go. Right. So there's a beautiful philosophy, I think from Japan called the Ikigai. Have you heard of it?
Something about purpose.
Yeah. So I'm not, don't quote me on this, but it's kind of looking at like it's like these little circles that interlap. Like there's a diagram if you look it up. And it's kind of like this mixture of something like, you know, do what you love, do something that the world needs, do something that you get paid well for. And I think there's something else. And then in the middle of that is your sweet spot, and that's where you'll have the most fulfillment, and you really find your purpose. And that's what they call is the ikigai. That it's definitely worth checking out and to find that. And you know, because it is very fulfilling when you've got purpose. And for some people, purpose may not be work. It might be actually family, might be your purpose, or
Yes.
even like perhaps community, something in community, or even some form of like spirituality. So it's quite good to also notice where you're feeling like your desire, like you know, maybe for you it's like bringing more awareness to people about different kinds of health and healing and helping them to really, you know, be healed and so they can live their best lives and
Yeah, I
to
tell
feel
people
really fulfilled.
to follow their curiosity.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Because curiosity tends to never end. Although
Yeah.
passions may come and go, but curiosity tends to keep going.
Yeah. And that's a good thing also to bring in when you're relating to someone as well. Like, if you bring curiosity in, it can help you to again be more present and open to someone than if you're just judging them, like, because of what you think they are and who they are.
So, what would a tantra practice look like? Is it physical, like yoga, or is it still, like meditation, or is there some movement, like qigong, like, or is it all the above?
Yeah, I mean it can be all of the above, if you're, you know, especially if you're bringing in like mindfulness to it all. But yeah, you know, like I'm just trying to think of one, like what one something that can be really nice is just like it's a little bit like yoga in a sense, but like you could breathe up the energy from the earth up to the crown chakra, up to the sky. And then you could exhale and bring the sky energy down to the earth through your body. So you can inhale, bring it up to the body, to your crown chakra, and then exhale the sky energy down to the earth through your body. So in a way, you're uniting these two polarities of earth and sky. And you're just noticing the different flavors of, like, earth is a very solid form. And then the sky is very spacious. So, working with that and really tuning into the subtleties. I mean, that's kind of more like a, meditation practice, but you could also, to make it more fun, you could eat chocolate and make that your tantra practice. But
Yeah.
obviously you're doing it in a mindful way. Like, that's the key, is you're
I
bringing
see.
mindfulness in to what, when you're eating that chocolate and making it the best piece of chocolate you've ever eaten.
All right. I'll do some tantric chocolate eating. That
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, there's so many practices you can do within Tantra, but yeah, I mean, simplest is just, and to make it very simple for people, it's like, how can you bring mindfulness into whatever you're doing? How can you really, like, come into that place of presence? And then, using that same system with connecting to others, to life. And you can actually have a tantric experience even just connecting to a tree, like just looking at the tree and being really present with it, and maybe even feeling the energy of the tree and the spirit of the tree or the essence of the tree, and just maybe breathing, like, with the tree. Like, it can be quite a magical experience. I mean, it's a bit out there, but there's many things, like the ocean, you could also do that. So you're actually creating a connection with the earth, like, as well, because a lot of the time a lot of people are not really connected to the earth, and they don't really tap into that, like, sacred relationship that you can also have with the earth. But yeah, it can be a beautiful thing to create that connection too with Mother Nature.
Yeah, it sounds like deep observation. Like you're really looking and
Yeah.
seeing the patterns and the motions. And to me, it feels like you're being hypnotized by what by the natural flow of nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, there's a traditional tantric text called the Vijnana Bhairava Tantra, and then there's, like, a translation of that called the Radiant Sutras. So it's a bit more easy, like a modern translation, a bit more easy for the modern mind to get your head around. But in this ancient text, they have these little things called sutras, which are, like, in a way, little meditations, and they sound a little bit, maybe they're poetic, and they can take you into a place of, in a way, connecting to the moment, to the divine, to the sacred. But you're actually, like, it's through daily life, right? So, it doesn't have to be this hour-long meditation you're doing, even though that might still be good. It can actually be, you can have a 5-minute connecting and smelling a rose and just going into that, wow, like, that beautiful smell of the rose, and noticing how the fragrance can feel quite ecstatic in your brain. And yeah, just the colors and everything, and just being there right now. So that's what I like about Tantra, is it everything in life can be a beautiful meditative moment when you bring your presence to it. And if you like, I could read. Do you want me to read you one of
Yes,
the poems?
please. Yeah.
Okay. So this one is called, well, it's actually, let me see, I don't know what verse. Oh, verse 72 from the Radiant Sutras, or Sutra 72, 72. So this is how it goes. And if you like, you can close your eyes while I say it. So, tasting dark chocolate, a ripe apricot, a luscious elixir. Savor the expanding joy in your body. Nature is offering herself to you. How astonishing to realize this world can taste so good. When sipping some ambrosia, raise your glass, close your eyes, toast the universe. The sun and moon and earth dance together to bring you this delight. Receive the nectar on your tongue as a kiss of the divine. So that concludes the sutra. How was that for
Wow.
you?
I was taken away there. What is the name of that book?
It's called The Radiant Sutras, and
The
it's
Radiant
by this guy
Sutras.
called Lauren Roche. I might be
Right.
pronouncing his last name wrong. This
Cool.
is the one that you're seeing, even though probably your users aren't going to see this, but
That's
well,
cool.
it's not very good. But anyway, it's a pocketbook, so there's a much bigger book that you get, and you can get it on Kindle as well. So
Yeah,
if you
good.
don't like to buy books. But yeah, they're different meditations. And so the key is to find, you might find that many of them resonate with you, but you could find that one of them resonates. Like maybe this one that I just read resonates with you since you like
The
food.
first line.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, if you were to like read that and then eat the piece of chocolate, you know, like that could take you like into a really beautiful space.
It's kind of like a prayer before a meal.
Yeah, exactly.
And a
Exactly.
which is all about being present and bringing yourself into a more parasympathetic or relaxed state.
Yeah.
So.
And in a way, also into a place of kind of like reverence or realizing that there's something bigger than just this little human eating chocolate. Like there's a really, you know, if you really tune into it, it's like when you look at stars at night and you go, wow, like those are actually big suns, or those are like, you know, huge planets that, and but they look so tiny, and it really makes, well, at least makes me feel like a little ant or something really insignificant when I look at the sky, right? And
Yeah.
so
I feel like there's many things we're missing in the West. One of them is play, and another one is being in a state of awe.
yes, yeah, it's, and that could be good to bring back, right? To get a little lighter hearted, especially now I feel like everything's got a bit serious. It's like good to have some fun, enjoy yourself, right?
A lot of people say they have the truth, the only truth, and that is it. Amen. But really, there's so much we don't know.
Yeah, and so, and there can be, there's different paths for different people, but like, you know,
Yes.
how do you come into a place where you are feeling a lot fully alive? How do you come into a place where you're feeling deeply fulfilled? How do you come into a place of presence? I mean, all these spiritual, many of the spiritual paths, they all talk about presence. It's, you don't even need all the heady stuff. You just have to focus on being present, and you've often had a pretty good life if you can have been present with your life, you know. And I know I keep going on about being present, but yeah, it's an interesting thing to explore and to realize.
That's one of the practices you had us do in the workshop, is to take very, very slow steps and to be present to our steps. And I think that's good advice for anyone, just life advice is take it step by step and be present with that step you're taking in life right now. Just take your time, follow that step as you move forward in your own life, in your own way. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
That was an awesome chat, Naomi. Thank you very much for coming on. Is there a place you'd like to share with people for how they can work with you or go to one of your workshops?
Yeah, so the best place is to go to my website. So that's naomipremadevi.com, and that's basically NaomiPremadevi.com. And then yeah, I do coaching for individuals and couples, like when I do, which you can, like for couples especially, they can be guided through like sort of a tantric experience, or you know, work on things like conflict. So I've been trained also as a love and intimacy and relationship coach, so that's something that I do. And then working also with individuals, just anything around those topics of love, intimacy, relationships. And then also have different events I offer. So one of the ones that is currently being offered, at least in New Zealand, is the Silent Connections. And then you came to one which was Conscious Relating. Yeah, so you can see different ones here. And then I have some online courses as well. So that's pretty interesting. So yeah, if anyone's interested in anything I do or wanted to have more of a chat, just find out a bit more about Tantra and other things, feel free to reach out. You can contact me through my website. And yeah, it's been a great pleasure to be here on the show. And you know, I just want to say that, you know, Tantra can mean many things to many people. So it's good to just learn, see for yourself. Like if you're noticing you have an interest in Tantra, you know, do some reading, notice what's resonating with you, and you know, talk to people who kind of know who are good teachers and who are not good teachers, and so that, and then just learn, like discover. And I find the best way is actually having embodied experiences, because I find I learn a lot better that way than through a lot of talking and head stuff. So, you know, that would be my invitation, is go try things out, explore, get curious, and see where it takes you.
That's good advice. So after listening to us two talking heads, go out there and do something.
Exactly. Go enjoy your body. Yeah,
All right. Thanks, Naomi. Thank you for coming on.
thank you too. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Namaste. Bye.
Namaste. Bye.
Thank you again, Naomi. That was an awesome chat. I really learned a lot in your workshop and in this conversation as well. So if you would like to learn more about Tantra and being present and loving and central and learning more about what it is to be alive in life, you can look up Naomi on a website, naomipremadevi.com, and yeah, you can find out where she is doing her workshops and work with her one-on-one. Highly recommend it. She's an awesome, beautiful being. And yep, that's it for me. So until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved and that you are love. Kia kaha.